Hi folks, this is Alan What's-His-Name. On the 11th of September, 2022. And I'm about to introduce, from Australia, Rick, the conspiracy theorist. Thank you, folks.
Good evening, Rick, on what a date, 11th of September, 2022. 21 years ago. Now, I was sitting up, I think it was a Tuesday, not sure. Could have been Monday, late Monday night, possibly here. That's my house that I was living in, and switched on the TV, or someone rang and said, you've got to watch TV now, and total repeat, 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 same images, planes going in, towers flaming away, smoke was coming out, and was I frightened and was I shocked? No. I thought, well, someone's getting the evil empire back again for all the invasions that they've staged over the last whatever. It was, I don't know, I guess it's probably, was I in shock? I don't know. I don't think so. It didn't stress me out whatsoever. It was just, I've always been a, you know, 40-year conspiracy theorist, so I was only into it for, I'd been into it for 20-odd years at that stage. So I expect, you know, these things were talked about. And, of course, just remember, we were pre-programmed to see these things by mainstream media. Cartoons, comics, music videos, particularly music videos. And one that I go on about this all the time. No one seems to, you know, jump up and down and say, isn't that wonderful you've pointed this out? But the band James, the 1991 song, 10 years prior, Born of Frustration, that has got every single symbolic imagery whacked into one music video. How did those guys come up with it? They probably didn't. It would have just been made for them. It was a Scottish band, I think. Quite popular. Not a bad band. But just watch the video and the song, and hopefully we'll actually get Ab to play it at the end of this chat tonight. It's a great song. But you've got to watch the video and just watch. It's symbolic imagery. You've got owls. You've got Matrix imagery with the numbers all falling down, just like the Matrix movie that came out that was filmed, you know, was it 6 years after? I keep saying number six all the time. It's not a plot. It probably is because when I roam around trying to rehearse my Vincent Price imitation, which I had and then I've lost, and I'm trying to get it back again. So I'm roaming around, you know, even on streets. No one can tell that you're talking to yourself and you're mad because they just assume you're speaking on a phone. But let me tell you, I'm not on the phone. I'm talking to myself, rehearsing. Woe to you, O earth and sea. And getting the 666, you know, its number is 666. I'm saying it so often that every time I go to mention a number, it ends up being six, and it often is by coincidence. So nothing conspiratorial at Dave J. He'd be jumping up and down and pointing that, you know, I'm the Antichrist. No. And if I was, I'd have a lot more money in the bank, and I wouldn't be going to fucking work, let me tell you now. Anyway, so yeah, watched it. The next day in the pub, the people I hung out with, I'm not saying that they were harsh, but they were making jokes about the whole thing. That's what people in the pub were doing. They were laughing away at the Pentagon getting hit by the getting hit by nothing, and the big joke was, you know, what we're going to call it. They were trying to, you know, it was not the Pentagon anymore, and it was the rhomboid. We're going to have to call it the rhomboid from now on. That was quite funny and quite witty if you're into geometric structure. If you've got a brain. Just like the big massacres, a lot of the time people's coping mechanism is making jokes about it. And we had the shooting a few years prior that in Tasmania, that are supposedly, you know, 21 people were all gunned down, or 22. I think it might have been 22. Coincidence? Do you know what people were joking about that I was hanging out with? That they could have done more, that that wasn't high enough, that they could have done more, and they had the, coming up with these plots of how they would have done it. I kid you not. The, and these are professional, quite a lot of them's quite wealthy at the moment, let me tell you. Just having a laugh at you, as you do in the pub. You don't take life seriously, and this is a very important thing that any younger person needs to do, is do not take life that seriously and stop worrying about everything. Because there's nothing you can do about it. But do, if you're in an unfortunate situation, change the situation, because that's very easily done. Change the situation. Move on. Get rid of that dull job. Now, I can talk, but I actually enjoy going to work and listening to podcasts and getting paid for it. So I'm not complaining about me. But as far as the Twin Towers, I'm there to say it's a ritual. Very elaborate ritual, pre-planned. They made sure that loads of heads of state and heads of countries were in New York at that time. And I suggest, like John Howard, our Prime Minister, what a fucking wanker. He was there, and I reckon they got them all into a room facing the towers and said, watch. And they watched it, and then they would have probably said to them, you know, you're all witnesses to this. Keep your mouths shut, but this is the power we have. Do what we say. And they would have had a TV screen on the other side with the towers crumbling and the slow controlled demolition that they saw with no planes going in and, you know, smoke bombs and bits and pieces in visual from where they were sitting. So they could see this is staged and this is the kind of power we have. Shut your mouth. Do what we say. That's my theory. That's all it is, a theory. I don't expect Babette to come up and say, where's my proof on that? I don't have a proof. I'm just going with what I suggested happened, because why would they have made sure Howard, Blair, all these guys were there in New York at that time just by coincidence? By coincidence. And my favourite 9/11 researcher was Chris Kendall. And one of my favourite podcasts is Bar None. Dry humour, didn't take things too seriously. We probably did take things too seriously in other ways, because he admitted that he had a few mental issues. And who doesn't? But not quite as bad as that. Well worth going if you can find his breakdowns on the towers. And, he found the list of every single item that should have been in the towers, all the fire extinguishers, all the desks, all the filing cabinets, the telephones, the carpet, all these things that do not just evaporate into a puff of smoke when a building comes down, unless it was empty and it didn't have any of those items in it to start with. And then the world, he contacted the death index, or the council death index in New York. No extra deaths on that day. None. 600 and something. Funny, that number. Don't mean to keep saying it, but that was, I think that's the number, is 600. Or 6,000 deaths on average. I think it would have been 600 on average in New York per day. I'm not sure. But he came up with this figure, and there was no 3,000 added at any stage. They could probably fix that by now. So who's to know? What else? I just listened back to, because I have to, because I cannot remember a thing. I was so tired last night listening to the Rick and Rollo show. Ordinarily, it's not a show. It's not to be serious. It's a R&R. Literally, Rick and Rollo is R&R, rest and relaxation. Three guys having a good chat and getting controlled sometimes by this Canadian that pops in and sober and has a laugh with us, as he has been for nearly 5 years. We've been doing these Saturday nights consistently. Definitely one of the most consistent shows on Fakeologist audio, guaranteed. And yeah, there's a couple of realologists on there. And one definitely, Mr. Rollo, funny man, but he loves to believe everything. I've been called a realologist, but I'm very cynical about a lot of things too. Total cynic. Especially last night I was arguing about the Stern interview with supposedly Prince Charles getting harassed by some caller going, it's just, I mean, I know for a fact you get cut off soon as the radio host suspects that you're a fraud, and Roland and I are both career radio people, have rung up radio stations. We know, I know anyway, that you're gone. Soon as you start sounding like you might be a plant or a troll, you're gone. This guy got 4 or 5 minutes with Prince Charles. Fucking bullshit. And it doesn't even sound like him, to be honest. Oh, Mr. Fakeologist has just popped his head. Hey. Good.
Did I interrupt a good flow?
No. I was just talking off the top of my head about 9/11. My eyewitness.
Oh, happy 9/11.
Happy 9/11. It's your 9/11 too, isn't it? Happy 9/11. Happy Hoax Day.
Yeah, happy Hoaxiversary. That's an IPS.
21 today. 21 today.
It's a.
Where were you when you saw it? Where were you when you saw it?
I was working in the office behind a computer, and I was a big surfer in between work assignments. I think the World Wide Web was relatively new, so it was an exciting time. Where you could
It was about 5 years of heavy usage by 2001, when
when I first started using a World Wide Web browser, Mosaic or Netscape. I just wish I wrote down the day, because I don't remember when it was, honestly, when I first logged in.
96.
Yeah. Well, that might have been the first year. Was there in and around
and I'm talking, when I say a good friend's a friend that I know well, he was a Apple expert and installing apples and selling apples and controlling Apple, mainframes for offices and stuff. And he had a computer around his place. And I was fascinated, but I wasn't into it so much myself, but it was incredible to see what was happening with the internet back then and how Apple came out about 95, 96 for those iMacs or eMacs. Were they the round orange, blue, and various color shapes?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I was out of Apple by then, so I was into just XTs and ATs and 286s and 386s and 486s. That's how I remember the sequence.
And DOS.
IBM compatibles. DOS. Yeah, we call them IBM DOS. Compatibles. Yeah, MS-DOS. But I just remember when someone said they were switching from BBSs, which is what I had a BBS, as you can imagine, which is a bulletin board system, which is text only. And then they said the provider I was using, you could access the World Wide Web. And I thought, what is that? Okay, so I was right on board trying it, but I just wish I remember what year it was. That would be really fascinating. But you said 96, so I was right on top of it. I didn't delay when someone said, okay, you got to call this phone number to hook up to that World Wide Web type server, which was that graphical interface, which made things so much easier. I was big on the graphical user interface, the GUI. Just because it seemed like it was more logical, it was easier to see things. And there were two GUIs.
They love the word goo, don't they? They love the word goo in computers, don't they? Google.
Yeah, maybe. But there were two competing GUIs, and you used them for making up flyers and printing up web pages. Not web pages, but printing up flyers, Photoshop, but just if you wanted to create a nice printout. You used PageMaker. I remember PageMaker. So there were two GUIs, one by Digital Systems called GEM, which was graphical something, and then Windows. And they were both really sluggish and slow, and obviously Windows beat out GEM. And now we're in the pickle we are today, where we still can't hook up our printers to our networks or hook up our computers.
They don't talk to each other.
Like, 30 years later, it's still a garbage operating system. And I remember IBM wanted to bring out OS 2. I thought, oh man, I'm going to switch to OS 2 so bad and get out of Windows. IBM seems like a much more solid company. But they, IBM couldn't get their crap together. They never got their operating system off the ground. It never worked. It never caught on. And
international
not enough
peace
vendors
management.
Supported it. Yeah. So then we're stuck with this horrible operating system called Windows, which still has the same garbage built-in programs that are, they never fixed it or improved it. And like I said, I can't get, I upgraded to Windows 10. I'm not sure why I did that for Windows 7. And now my computers, I'm still having trouble. They can't see each other. You can't print to a network printer. So I'm going through piles of web pages trying to get that working. Like, how can that be 30, 40 years later? It's still the same old garbage system with a another number on it.
Well, they want you. You're listening to Rick and
After Adam. The break.
After the break.
I'm Broken Locks from Christchurch.
Dee Dee from Portland.
Jungle Jeff.
Rasmo Jeff.
Doug Kelly.
Adam from Florida.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, so it's just the same old system. No competition. We have an oligopoly. Well, that's a monopoly, really. It's a monopoly on the operating system. And, that, of course, that's what they want to do with the whole world. That's what capitalists, oligarchical capitalists do. They
monopoly.
Love monopolies, so they have no competition. And now they want to build an operating system for man and a one-world operating system for living. And it can't. We cannot let it happen.
No. Oh, don't you think it's deliberately done, obviously? Deliberately done. Deliberately done so that we want a better system, a faster system, and we're going to put our hands up when they say, well, we've got this much better system. It's inbuilt into you. Okay. And you can, you know, I mean, they really are saying that. You know, Harari is saying that, you know, in the next 4 years, we're going to have our own phones inbuilt in our, you know, computers will be inside us, you know, Intel inside,
well,
literally.
I know.
He keeps saying it. I mean, look, they wouldn't say it if they haven't got it on the planning board, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, of course.
We've only got 4 years to go.
I have a transhumanist child, I've told you. Her life depends on technology. I mean, we could live without it, but it makes life much easier because they obviously disabled her, and now we are a slave to their transhumanist computer system where it's mimicking her bodily functions that should never have been destroyed by their garbage vaccines, their poison.
Yep.
I see it every day. It's terrible. Can't even
horrific.
Come close to mimicking the body. Really, the body's way above man. I don't think man in our lifetime or five lifetimes will ever figure out how the body really works. We have this really crude assessment of disease, which is way off, probably. It's way off. And all we do is just take shots at the body to kind of jar it into. It's like tilting a pinball machine from the old days or kicking a car to make it work.
We need updates.
Work.
We need constant updates, and that's the way that they want it to be, is we need to be up.
Do you remember when you would, if something
vaccine.
Wouldn't work, if a machine didn't work, you just kick it.
Kick
say,
it.
Oh, it works now. Yeah, well, that's what they're
or
doing
spray
in the body.
With WD-40 on it.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Yeah, exactly. If it does, that's my extent of mechanical prowess. Yeah,
same with me. Guess what? It does work. It does work. WD-40 is a good go-to
and,
if you can't
do
something.
And the No Agenda Show was trying to explain the origins of WD-40. You know, I'm not sure if it's true.
I know it.
Go ahead.
Well, you tell me your version.
What's it stand
for?
Well,
my version is that water displacement.
Displacement. Yes. What's the 40?
Missile systems.
Mean?
It was the 40th recipe, and it's fish oil, and definitely fish oil, and like a kerosene, not kerosene. What do you call it?
Oil.
It's oil from oil that they use for
just petroleum based oil, yeah.
And
NASA,
so it's a mixture of three
one
different
of their
things.
Agents? Did NASA or one of their agents come up with
it? Yes, it was military to displace. to spray onto missile systems when that had water in them to get rid of the water off the wires so the wires spoke to each other properly, I do believe. And that,
guess what, though?
Get this one. I've heard too many anecdotes from old people saying, you know, I sprayed it on my knees and it helped my knees when I had really bad knees. And right, I thought, well, it makes sense with fish oil and the other oil, you know, whatever you call it.
Well, cod liver is fish.
No, it's not. It's exactly. No, it's, yeah, whatever. People
oil?
Swear to God that it helps their knees. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's there's a word, it begins with M. It's an M word, but I can't get into my head at this present stage. But anyway, forget
That's
about
all
it.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, mineral oil. It's mineral oil and fish oil combined. And yeah, I kid you not. If you've got a sticky lock or a whatever, or you know your car isn't starting, often spraying some WD-40 and what you know the direction of your carburetor or your battery does actually help. Yeah, all good. Anyway, I'll keep talking. I was listening anyway back to the Rick and Rollo show, which I was just saying is not the show to get your information from, but every now and then I will say some stuff. Basically, it's three guys drinking and having a conversation around a electronic bar table. And so, you know, there's a lot of shouting over the top, mainly from my end, because Rollo and Living Man have both got the loudest voices you've ever heard live, be told. And we're trying to get a word in, and I've managed to do it quite successfully, but I hate listening back and going, oh, geez. I mean, please, you know, I just do talk over the top of people. I have to apologize, but never mind. Anyway, going back to what I was talking about last week, I found the biography of, or the diaries of the guy that was writing a book on Cecil Beaton, or whatever his name was. Turns out he was the man working for the Ministry of Information in 1941 who took all the photos, official photos of the war from Britain's end, of the Blitz, of whatever. So here's a guy that was there running photos. So what you got to see was run by Cecil Beaton. So there was a reason I found that book. I'm going to go into it, and then I'm going to go through his diaries. He wrote four. And I'll get some stuff out of it. The other thing that I must bring up is IPS keeps going on about this rubber blow-up balloon tanks and things like that. This was mainstream, totally mainstream information available if anyone was into the war. And the Allies used inflatable tanks to fool aerial photographers so that they thought there was a whole lot of weaponry over there, but in actual fact, there was nothing, just to fool the Germans. Because be told, they did not like the – Britain does not like Germans. They don't like the French much, but they really don't like the Germans a whole lot. You've even got the word jerry-built they used to use. Jerry-built, which meant German-built, was inferior. Now, be told, the German industrial, German mechanical, it's far, far, far superior than anything Britain could come up with, and they were so jealous, and their cousins over in America that was jealous as well. Just look at the Volkswagen. There's an example for you. How many Volkswagens that were built in the 40s or 50s are still on the road? A whole lot, let me tell you, especially the ones in the 50s. Superior engineering. Find me a Morris Minor still driving around that isn't, you know, being broken down on the side of the road. Or a, you know, Austin, any of the British-made cars, they're fucking useless. Interesting looking, but useless. Now, the Volkswagen, guaranteed, and that logo, be told, I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff. It looks like there's a kind of an alien looking at you if you look at that logo hard enough with the V and the W. Very powerful symbol. Very powerful symbol. But mechanically, these vehicles were built to last forever. And so they do, and so they are. So there's a reason why Britain hated Germany, and Germany was a completely separate entity to Britain. Not at the very top, but the public and the, you know, middle class were definitely nothing to do with the British, and they didn't like each other much. Britain certainly didn't like them. But yeah, there's definitely a there with a war to get rid of Germany and annihilate it. They didn't finish the job in the First World War. They had to do a second run, and they did very successfully. And they're still there occupying it to this day. And German firepower, German sea power, German engineering, German mechanic, gone. The people are still there, very neat and tidy people, nice people, out front, up front type of people. But I think they're a nice race of people. Can't say anything bad about them. English, same. They're the same, particularly the down-to-earth types that grew up in the Liverpool and Manchester and the poor areas of London. Salt of the earth. Always sense of humour, fantastic people. Anyway, I'll stop and wait for Ab.
Did you say there's a there?
Yes. Well, I can't remember what about, yes. But oh, about Germany and the German destruction of Germany. There's definitely a there. Yeah. They hated the British hated them, and I've got the old newspapers and books and stuff where they are absolutely
Germany must perish.
Demonizing the Germans. Yeah, for sure. Where did that come from? Where did you get that the German must perish? Because I do remember.
Ernst Sundel, he was reading the book.
Ernst
there's
Sundel.
A bunch of
That's
books
right.
that have the exact same theme. Yeah, there's no doubt that the British did their damnedest to annihilate. They said they don't want to just destroy Germany. They want to destroy
annihilate.
Germans.
Yeah, they don't like them, and there's good reason for it. I was just talking about the as an example of superiority, right? The Volkswagen. How many old Volkswagens still driving on the road? Huge amount. How many old
Probably
Voxels
more over there. You guys don't put salt on the road.
No.
That's why.
No, we don't need to. We don't need to.
Cars don't make it.
I do believe that the salt I've had a couple of Volkswagens, and rust was never a problem. It's less of a problem now,
even here. They do some excellent galvanization to steel now. It really protects steel. You don't see rust buckets like you used to. And I'm talking about gaping holes and rocker panels and fenders. And see that. The 70s was amazing. Yeah. Well, for sure. Well, no, but people, they know how long, as you know, Tavistock studies human minds. People want something new every so many years anyway. It doesn't matter if it's obsolete or not.
Yeah, but look how good the Volkswagen – look at the bug, the Volkswagen bug. It still looks good and relevant on the road right now. It doesn't look like it's – it looks cool.
It's a matter of opinion. Look at British, I never liked them personally, but
– when you get inside one and they pull and you shut the door and your ears pop, that's always a kind of a bit
– Yeah, solid
because
you know,
they're built
maybe,
to be airtight. Well, no, it's airtight, so they float. And
but don't you think the Japanese took over for quality from the Germans, at least for a period?
Yes, they did. And if you listen to, I think it's the light bulb conspiracy doco, or there's a number of them. So the Japanese perfected motor vehicles. And then they were told by the American manufacturing companies that, no, you cannot put out this thing because it's going to last forever. We need it to last about, 10, 15 years or to be off the road. So they got threatened to, you've got to make them rust. And the Japanese honor system is like, we don't want to make an inferior product. But eventually they ended up bending over and doing it. And so there were this, they were scratching around, where they put the windows, and they were deliberately scratching around the underneath of the seal so it would rust around the window screens. And that's a conspiracy theory. Yeah, no, I went right into this. So to Alan Watt, I have to keep mentioning him. He's on the money with everything he fucking said.
Are you
said,
still
guaranteed.
Listening to his podcast?
Every now and then, it's all repeats, obviously, because Big Al's not here anymore. And
so
I do miss him because he.
Probably, yeah?
Oh yeah, twice. at least, because I listened to everything he did when I first heard him. And I just used to go through and go, well, I'll check this out. And I used to research and listen, you know, when he was talking about, particularly the one about the Japanese motor vehicle companies being told you cannot put out these cars because they're going to last forever. You're not going to make any money out of it. We need it to be controlled. And I think that's a fact. Yep. Because remember the first Datsuns were awesome cars. Right. Awesome.
280ZX.
Well, that's the later ones, but yeah. And just remember Nissan, you know, Nissan that they call themselves now, that's not a Japanese word. That's a Jewish, the first month of the year. Nissan.
Oh, really?
I thought it was an acronym
for Nakamoto Industrial.
No,
something.
So like Standard Oil New York not being Sony, and it's actually Standard Oil New York. And there's a whole lot of there's a whole lot of what would you call it? Info that says, oh no, it stood for this, stood for that, didn't it? But to me, SONY is Standard Oil New York. You know, and Americans, when they carpet bombed, they didn't blow them up with nuclear bombs. They just firebombed the areas that they needed to build the factories in.
I think so.
Yeah, for sure, guaranteed. That was my first thing that woke me up about nuclear bombs many, many, many years ago. I went, how come there's still people roaming around in Hiroshima and there's still industry? And
of course, what happened to the 1,000-year contamination?
Or radiation.
What happened to that nonsense? Well, it only applies in select locations. And then they started calling nuclear bombs different things like hydrogen bombs and neutron bombs. Yeah. Was that to confuse the issue? They said a neutron bomb killed people but not buildings, and they had a million different versions of them.
It was growing up.
Or H-bombs, hydrogen bombs too.
H-bombs, hydrogen bombs, yeah.
Neutron bombs, neutron
Big dance. Bertha, big boy, you know, was it Big Boy that they dropped on the thing? But I just mentioned him before, Little Boy and Big Boy, but I mentioned Chris Kendall before. That when he found that book by that American naval guy that said it was a novel, but it was basically saying that, you know, the bombs were faked, but it was written as a novel. And then he found out from someone else that the Japanese people of Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and other satellite
were forbidden by
law for 20 years, I think it was, or at least 10, to talk about that day. It's like imagine if they used that same power when the towers went down and said, you cannot discuss this for 20 years. The next generation would just forget about it, you know, which they do.
In a way they did. Because
they took everyone's cameras off them.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I think that was an excuse. I just don't think people take...
Well, you're a criminal if you're holding the photo. Yeah, but what they were saying is if you are holding evidence of this thing, you need to hand it in now. Otherwise, you could be charged with being an accessory. So the American people.
Is that right? I thought it was a volunteer thing. They threatened the people?
Well, that's what I heard. But, I mean, obviously, I'm not from there. I don't know either. Well, don't you think, I mean, you know. I keep trying to impress upon the Americans that listen to fakeholders.com the damage job that the media and movies did on the rest of the world. They wanted you to think that Americans were these psychotic, gung-ho, gun-hungry, gun-mad, people that were absolutely psychotic, and movies like Platoon. I mean, you watch Platoon and see the kind of treatment that they were giving to on the movie to the Vietnamese, and it made you think they were awful. And it made you dislike them. And so that's why I'm saying, I was just talking before you came on, when those planes were going in there, I was going, well, they're getting their own back now, because we've been getting nothing but bad publicity about Americans. Blowback, yeah. That's what blowback. I thought too.
We all thought blowback. And that was the theory I heard in for a long time. Blowback.
Yeah, but then I was at a pub. I was at a pub about a few weeks later. And, you're listening to Rick
after
and
the break, Rick Rolla.
After the break, Rick and Roll.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Mizong from Switzerland, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Mizong, what a lovely lady. What a smart woman.
She was on
what
yesterday.
A smart woman.
Well, she dropped the F-bomb yesterday after you left.
She's funny.
Oh my God! Yeah, she got.
I'd
really
love
angry.
To see. I reckon she. I reckon. I would.
You
roll
can imagine it. Who was on the call that made her angry.
Boogeyman.
Good guess.
There you go.
Good guess.
How did I know that? I'll say this. Like, I don't. You know, get in arguments with the guy because I said to him, I don't.
SMG did
argue.
That was a key. I had to rename that.
Only because Boogeyman was sending SMJ messages like, get on the line now, get on the line. You're, you know, trying to say, challenge him. You're a coward or whatever he was saying. But, and then he would have turned up. I haven't listened to it, but it sounds like it'll be good. But no, anyway, going back to the 9/11, the damage that the media from, I'm talking about TV and Hollywood have been doing against the Americans to the rest of the world is, it was over the top, and they made you think that these guys are stupid, gun-hungry, illiterate thugs like the British did to the Germans. They probably did the same treatment. So to bring down this giant country of, you know, many, many million people that are all armed, they've been using Hollywood and movies to destroy them. And even as Freeman Fly says, stories like the Clinton, you know, cigar thing, it was like to humiliate the whole, the office of prime president. You know,
right.
These things are operations for the future to, and now they're using Joe Biden and Donald Trump. So you got Biden and Trump. Biden your time and then the Trump card. This will be the civil war that they're trying to formulate that'll be, you know, probably fake, but they're going to get enough people angry enough to go out there and probably shoot each other.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think people are going to get off.
I hope not.
I'm sorry. There's no evidence people are going to do anything. Maybe fraction of a group.
We'll see.
That's maybe
you only need a tiny fraction of a group. And even my father, who's not into this stuff, fakeology, one day he said to me, he was walking through Sydney City and he saw a protest going on, and then he got home. It was a protest. It was an Aboriginal or Koori, we call them here, protesting around a building. And he said he walked past the building. He saw about 15 people with flags shouting. When he got home on the news, it looked like there was about 10,000 people out the front because they'd used stock footage and added them to the and you know. So he was aware, and he said to me, he goes, I saw it, and there was not that many people there. So it doesn't matter if you
want to
say you get 15,
yeah, I know what you
15
mean.
People to get angry and pull out a gun in New York.
And maybe the same was for the Hitler speeches. A lot of people think those were completely BS film footage where he wasn't really, there weren't big crowds. Now, I don't know. This is a little too far back, but
I think that they fill stadiums up, but that you know, if you wanted to do the same thing
too.
With the Technocracy crew and the Hollywood Bowl in 1933 was filled up with these people wearing white overalls and all holding up Technocracy banners and demanding we go into a technocratic empire. Now, if you film that and then put a guy up the front like Elon Musk, it's a fact. So that was a thing. So they filled Hollywood Bowl up with enough people that were all obviously stools and paid to attend, but they got enough people that if they filmed it, put it on.
Let's all get enthusiastic about Hal the Robot. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, just remember Elon Musk.
Hal the Robot.
Well, Elon Musk's grandfather.
I can't stand the words Elon Musk anymore. I'm sick of that that woman.
So Bond, it's so Bond villain like. It's so like a Bond villain, and the fact Elon
it's
was
just the name to me, it's an alien. That kind of name is kind of alien to me. What about the crowds for Bolsonaro?
You know he's not intelligent.
Brazil?
That's what I think Babette shared that, was it?
Yeah, well, Viking Helga shared it with me. She lives in Sao Paulo. And the crowds are, there's so many people down there. Oh, my goodness. It's a very populous country to begin with. But the crowds for that guy, who I guess is sort of their Trump figure, maybe even better.
Is he saying to eat red meat's good for you? Because I'll tell you what, if you get you want to get the Brazilians marching, tell them that you're going to tell them you're bringing in bugs to replace meat, and you'll get an awful lot of Brazilians. You'll get a Brazilians, as George W.
Getting
Bush.
Getting back to 9/11 and getting back to your original question, back 20 minutes ago. Yeah, I was sitting in front of my computer and at work trying to pull up the CNN page. It wouldn't load. It was probably back in the day when it was maybe two computers on CNN's end, and I couldn't get the page up. So I was just getting text, and the graphics wouldn't come up. So I really didn't get the TV effect. There was no TV in our office, so I didn't get any of that. Yep. And I think I even turned on the radio in the office because I really wasn't getting anything off the internet. It wasn't loading. It was just too many people pounding the CNN site. Which I suppose is where I went. Maybe Drudge was around then, but they just have headlines and links. So I really wasn't getting much. So I didn't get the full effect. You needed a TV for the effect.
Yeah, well, what they did now, what it immediately reminded me of is because I was, you know, in 1991, being a conspiracy theorist, right? And
you were right on top of it.
Right. When... This is the coincidence that happened. So we didn't have a 24-hour news channel in Australia at this present stage, right?
Could you get CNN?
About a week. You could, I'll talk about that again because I've been I was sitting there watching a documentary on CNN in 1981, where. He came out and he said, this is what's going to be the future. And he was showing banks of TV screens and all the news controlled by one central.
This is Ted
and
Turner.
I remember sitting there, Ted Turner. Yeah, it was. I thought that I'd shared that original video. It's gone. I can't find it anymore. But Ted Turner was bragging away that we're going to have a one world government. All the media is going to be run by this. This was 1981, I guess. I'm saying it was a Sunday. I was at home by myself, and I watched it, and I was going, because, you know, I was already into this biblical
shout out to anybody
theory.
Who can find that video. Send it to
I tried. Very difficult. Yes, it was Ted Turner's promotional, but there's one that's on there that says it is, but it's not the same one I saw, be told. Anyway, so... In 1991, just before the first Gulf War, Australia did not have a 24-hour news channel station. With a week before the war started, Channel 10, which is a big X on its logo, went bankrupt. And all of a sudden, they shut the TV station down. Just in time for those first... green screened, totally repeated psychological, or what would you call it? Psycholinguistic programming of these missiles, Scud missiles being launched ad nauseum. They had a free open channel and they turned it on 24 hours a day, about a week before the first bomb or the foot. So we had all of a sudden this 24 hour station. I knew straight away that this is too coincidental. So after watching that psycholinguistic programming of the bombing of, you know, the first boots on the ground, the invasion of Kuwait by the Americans, it was almost identical reporting, but it was the towers going down and the planes going in that were put on every probably 15 minutes or even maybe it might have been every 5 minutes. The same imagery recycled, just got repeated.
Yeah.
That's psycholinguistic programming.
What was the first thing? Yeah. So it started at 8:46. This is 8:46.
Yep.
And therefore, what was it, an hour before the alleged second plane hit the South Tower, was it? I should be better at this. Mm-hmm. So what did they do for the first hour on the Tele-Live-Vision? What were they showing? Just Smoking Tower, I guess.
Yeah, Smoking Tower and constant the attack, the invasion. And all of a sudden, guess whose name got brought up within minutes almost? This was obviously Osama bin Laden.
Barack. Barack Osama bin Barack Laden Obama.
Yeah. And this is the other thing.
Wasn't that after the collapse? Don't forget, who was blamed for the 93 bombing of the parking lot? Was it Osama? I can't remember.
No relation, because the bin Ladens came in and fitted out the towers. It was a sheik,
some sheik.
Yeah, and they drove a car down and it blew up in the tower. So that was where they cleared the building out and they brought in the bin Laden family, which did the renovation on that job, guaranteed. And it was quite official.
The bin Laden did the renovation?
Bin Laden Constructions did the fit out after the first bombing, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then
another little.
Guaranteed. So, the Bush family were the employee that employed them to do the restructural fit out for the after the first bomb went off. That was blamed on some mad sheik, whatever you call them.
That was in
Britain that they had that mad sheik.
Okay.
I do believe the one-eyed one. Yeah.
I get all my psyops. They're all merged in my head.
Yeah, same here. But so I was not on News Watch, but I used to read mainstream media. Like I used to be on trains all the time or buses, and I used to, going out to because I work for an agency, a construction agency. That sent you to a different job. So that's why I know so many people, because I'd be at three different jobs or four different jobs a week with an engineering company. And I used to read the newspaper religiously, and that's the word I would use, religiously. But I used to be able to pick where I was being lied to, thankfully, after reading a book in the 80s called Lies, Damn Lies and Statistics. About fake journalism. Mm. Good book.
And yellow journalism.
Whatever the rich people want you to believe, they'll use the old, plug it for 10 weeks in the front page of the newspaper, and they'll convince a whole lot of people that a certain race of people or a certain color of people are bad guys. They even used not even Photoshop. And one picture I saw of when they were demonizing the Middle East, they had a picture of three Middle Eastern guys, and I could clearly see that they used a pencil to darken under their eyes to make their eyes look more nasty. Back then, that's my only gift, is I think I can spot a bullshit artist. I have, but I'm telling you now, Murdoch Press was one of the biggest bullshit artists of their day, guaranteed. The Murdochs, and they started in the First World War with Sir Keith Murdoch reporting on the First World War. For whatever the story they wanted, they got. And Murdoch's son, Rupert, took over the reins in I think 64. And they've been bullshitting ever since. And now they say.
They're Australian based.
No. They're American based. Murdoch ran 20th Century Fox, I do believe.
I thought they started in Australia, Fox and all that, no?
Yeah, he started. So I'll tell you, I can tell you. So Keith Murdoch was the first World War journalist that was boots on the ground, in brackets, reporting on what was going on in the First World War, controlled demolition of the German people and the Russian. The Prussian Empire was blown to pieces and attacked by Australians, Indians, Canadians, especially Americans and British. Happy to help. Yep, happy to help. Indians especially, there was a lot of Indian regiments in the First World War. Lots of them. And all under the British banner.
Were they the Gurkhas?
That was their special forces. If anyone says they weren't a thing and they're not that special, I know too many anecdotal evidence of these guys were special, all right? Highly fit, and they ran. They were Indians, the saber regiment of the Indian Army, or the Himalayas, or wherever the Gurkhas come from. Really professional soldiers, killers, highly professional killers. So they went over there and destroyed Germany bit by bit, and Prussia. Got rid of the what's the conspiracy theory? What do they call them? The people that the empire that they say was running Tartarian. I do believe there's a thing there with Tartaria, and I think Tartaria was Prussian. So it was a combination of Russian. I think it's a combination of the Russians and the Germans having an incredible the Swedes probably and the Norwegians. The Slav, a very powerful, God-honoring society that built, impressive buildings. And I think there's a thing with Tartaria. And I believe the First World War was the first stage of destroying structural Tartaria. And the Prussians, and the Second World War finished the job, and then they made sure they blew up all the industrial areas of Germany, and the Americans have been controlling Germany ever since. Lots of bases.
And
still.
Maybe that's why they wanted to move everything also to China. Maybe they're more obedient people.
Oh, they had to. Direct for control. Sure.
Yeah, they didn't want the obedient Germans rising up again.
No. Well, I'm telling you that the average, say the Prussian or the German, or if you combine Germany and Russia, you've got the Prussian, which is, knowing a bit about Russians, having spent 10 years with one, these are hardcore, family-centric, honorable people. That's what the Russians are. Yeah, the Russians. The Germans are an incredibly intelligent engineering, superior engineering, hard workers, neat and efficient. The British, forget about them. They were, on a whole, they hated their, they've had tyrannical government in Britain.
They're the leather.
400 years, if you're stealing a sheep off a lord's property because you were eating bugs to survive, you were sent to Australia or you were executed and hung, drawn and quartered. The British were elites are the nastiest lot on the planet, as far
they're
as I
ruthless.
Can work out.
And they're probably still running the place, aren't they?
I think so. I think so. I'm guaranteeing you that the power of and the fact we've got King Charles now, King Charles the Cavalier, right. King Charles. I mean, this guy is a green agenda pushing.
And my wife said he put out a notice that he might have to. He has to distance himself from all these organizations now that he's king. That's what he said. He put out a statement or something.
Yeah, that was interesting. So, I listened back to last night's show. A bit of a horror, getting a bit loud and carrying on. But I was saying I had not heard that it was King Charles, but it is. So, because I'm not a media.
And even my mom, who's an addict on CNN, is sick of the wall-to-wall coverage now because it's knocking all the regular propaganda off the air. It's wall-to-wall Buckingham Palace.
Buckingham Palace, all right. Yeah.
And I think Tim Osmond was saying they switched the normal mourning period from 10 to 17 days for the Q fans. So this is going to go on for 3 weeks. 3 weeks, so there's going to be some major PSYOP, major shifts in laws passed, I would say, over the next 3 weeks while everyone's watching the old bag being dragged through the streets in a carriage.
This is what, about, I think last week I said something big's on the I can smell something big happening, and I was quite proven right. They were waiting for something like this, because this is going to hide and
cover over every... Yeah, this is a smoke screen, like at the towers. They're going to be busy.
Guaranteed.
What? Maybe digital ID is going to be finally brought in. That's
you're listening to the record
thing is about. And I got...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Oh, man. You got to go on. There's so much.
Rick and Ab, 9/11/2022. We're discussing we're discussing everything, but especially the 9/11 and
all over the map.
Queen's demise. Now, it's good timing for the Queen to go, because we've got 9/11's being kind of dwarfed by Betty the Yeti. Yeah,
that's going to wipe 9/11 coverage right off the map. Nobody cares about that anymore. They closed the museum. They closed that. How much did the museum cost? Give me a break.
Tim from IPS mentioned that last week. He said there's something going down when they close that museum. There's something big coming up, and guess what that was? I'll say this, Ab, and I'm not a royal supporter, but last night I was kind of, what do you call it when you argue the negative, just to be a devil's advocate.
Yeah.
What a name too, devil's advocate. Yeah.
I go back and forth on the royals too myself. I went to see the Queen in Toronto. I wasted a Sunday in the heathen masses trying to see her a mile away with my binoculars. How ridiculous is that? But I did.
I'll bring that up. What I said last night. And I kid you not. After Diana got whacked or whatever, there was a lot of negative press. I mean, Australia's been trying to get rid of the Queen for a time, and they were so successful running a negative campaign that when she came over for a tour in the either early 2000s or late 90s, I can't remember what else. I kid you not, and I do not bullshit. There's one thing you'll not get off me is a lie off anything I say. I was walking through Sydney. I looked across the road, and there she was in her full regalia with a few bodyguards and a number of people opening up the town hall. It had been designated to be renovated.
And no crowd.
But there was no crowd. And I can remember in 1971, in 1971 in New Zealand, she came through and did a tour. And I'm telling you, every single person that could walk was standing along the side of this big Cameron Road.
In New Zealand.
Named Cameron Road in New Zealand. So everyone was there to stand there and wave and clap, because we were so conditioned that she was this monarch of highest magnitude. Project Monarch Butterfly. Coincidence? Not sure. Because I'm telling you now, there's a lot of negative things went towards the royal family after Diana got killed. Everyone loved her. She was the people's princess as far as mainstream media goes. Everyone hated Charles after she died. Big ears. But she turned up to try and do a PR thing, and it was a failure because there was no crowds. No one was there. No one was interested.
That's amazing. It's amazing. No crowds. That would have been a great picture.
I wish I'd had a camera, but this is like late 90s or early 2000s. No, maybe I had a mobile phone, but I don't think I had a camera attached to it. Yeah, that was the day.
That's pretty cool.
Pretending I'm not a conspiracy theorist that hasn't read everything that negative about the royal family, she looked nice. She looked like a trustworthy person. And Netflix and all of the psychological operation, free-to-air and pay-to-air things have been filming a fluff piece. There's...
Right.
All the stuff on the royal family that's been put on mainstream media for the last 10 years, showing, you know, the Queen's life, and she was a good-looking, sexy-looking chick who, and her sister, you know, they, one of them argued, and
Margaret.
I mean, I'm talking about Netflix, the Queen, I'm not sure what they're called, but there's a whole lot of, like, Game of Thrones type episodes based on the Queen's life that are hugely popular. So they've been doing a big puff piece on her, and the whole royal family is a necessary thing for us to function. It's going to be difficult once they get rid of her. Well, I'm saying this is the part where we need to go into the global New World Order. They had to get rid of her. She couldn't be a part of it. And they also need to get rid of the American presidential system, and that's next on the list, guaranteed.
Yes, I heard who was going on about this, bringing a one-party Chinese system to the U.S. and Canada.
It's on the way. It's on the way.
Yeah, the one-party system where you can vote for your favorite candidate locally and maybe municipally, where there is no real party system at the bottom. But
yeah,
as soon as you go higher, state, provincial, national, you're going to have the Canada Party, the Australia Party. So you can vote. You can vote, but it's the same party, just for different people. But
this is World Economic Forum.
But let's be honest. Yep. Is that not what happens already anyway?
The two or three party system is
an illusion. So let's just come clean and realize there is only one party, and that's the elite party. That's owned by the elite and the financial interests of whatever.
And the people that speak the legal language of law of the sea. The law of the sea is controlling us,
matter who gets in, what side, left or right. Well, in Canada, we have our Trudeau is the middle party. How can the middle party ever lose? They're in the middle. That's where they put themselves. So you can't really lose if you're in the middle, can you?
Yeah,
I'll just bring something up
about the royal system and this and the Commonwealth, or whatever we call it, you know, the legal system we have now, with based on, you know, the Queen's rules. I read a book in 84, maybe. It was a book by a group of it was written by a Yugoslavian woman that was in Australia, and the government The Australian government and the police had started prosecuting her family as being part of either terrorism or a possible assassination of someone else. And they were nearly all jailed for life. But her book was basically saying that the only thing that saved them was that they managed to get to the Governor General and use the Queen's rules, or the system of democracy via the Queen, and they managed to get the Governor General to appeal their thing, and they were exonerated because the system of the royal law that we use to this day is a little bit better than what's coming from the World Economic Forum, where it's them like a judge that's not living in the same country as you, that's based in wherever they've decided that, you know, say in England or in Europe, it was the Brussels was running. If Britain had have stayed in the EU, all their laws would have been judged by Brussels. That's a country that's nowhere near Britain. You know, it's near it, but it's not in Britain. So if you've got a problem with your government and you've been persecuted by the government, you've got nothing but the Queen's rules to save you, and it's better than what's coming. What's coming, and under Prince Charles and King Charles, I should say, now, is a new world order system that, you know, you're going to complain about your power being too expensive, and, you know, you've been cut off and you're living in squalor, and you're going to have to appeal to a country that nowhere near you. There's a judicial system in Brussels that you as a person in Birmingham or, you know, Liverpool, you can't fly over and get an audience with a judge when you're being run by another country. And this is what's on the way. The new world system will be run So the Canadian and Australian laws will be run by a separate country giving you your rules as part of this New World Order. So the demise of the Queen is going to mean an awful lot to our rights as a human. As bad as it was before, it's going to get worse, I do believe. So that's what's on the cards.
Yeah.
I
think this is the big month for the digital ID. They've been talking about it.
Oh, for sure. That's what this for sure.
Oh, I wanted to bring up another post that I found on I guess I got it through Henry Macau. Henry Macau is a Canadian guy who does
I like him.
Yeah, he has a lot of stuff. He has a real potpourri of posts. Hey, say that three
especially
times,
his satanic stuff. His satanic stuff about Australia is fucking second to none. Be told, guaranteed.
Well, he's allegedly a Jew that goes on off against the Jews all day long. That's his thing. I can't believe Living Man doesn't know about him and doesn't cite him. Living Man is very stuck in ways and
he's always into. I'm telling you that. Saturday night show with him, me and Rollo and you is good stuff because you got differential opinions, but we all keep.
Yeah, we're all over. Yeah,
and I'm telling you, we've been doing a continuous show. He disappeared for a year, but this, despite disagreements of the highest magnitude, we all still talk to each other, and that's what the Americans need to understand. Is a much better system where you just because someone completely disagrees with you. Like I was saying last night that everything I heard from these FM radio stars were fake. They, Rollo and him both thought they were real. But do I care? Nah. I think it's fantastic. I like to be my own individual person.
I think you're right. They're individual. I'm on your side. The Prince Charles one kind of fooled me.
He's good. He's a good imitator. He's a good mimic. But let me tell you, it was not
Charles,
him.
So I had no basis of comparison.
Well, I have like, because I'm a bit of a fan because he was a Goons fan, and he was very close friends with Spike Milligan, who's one of my heroes as far as humor goes.
So you know his voice.
Oh, guaranteed. And you know that I like mimicking people, so I've got a good ear for mimicking, and I can tell.
So, yeah,
that's
you have
not
an
him.
Ear. Yeah. Was it close though? Was it bad? Was
we were very close. It was fantastic, but it fooled Rollo and it certainly fooled
me.
Living Man.
Fooled me, yeah.
Yeah, but understandably, but I
but
can
you know
hear
the guy, you know the voice and you do mimicking.
Inflection.
You're an expert.
It's inflection.
So if we had to call an expert, we'd call you.
Yeah. I know I'm saying fake.
Just like one of the so-called vaccine experts in Canada, he got thrown out of the teachers' college because he's being accused of being a pedophile. So this is the expert we had on vaccines being slowly unwound and exposed. As all these disgusting shills will be, they will be
deliberate plant, deliberate plants put in there. To make us look like fucking psychopaths and pedophiles now. Yeah. Well, pedophiles is that.
Rollo I'm talking about PDO. This was a guy shilling for Big Pharma. He was a so-called expert on vaccines.
Oh, good. He's been done. QAnon will be onto that. QAnon will say,
a lot of these so-called experts that were trotted out for the last 2 years telling us how to live. They are nothing but shameless, disgusting sellout shills who have no credentials whatsoever. Not that anyone who says they're a virologist or a vaccinologist, they are just voodoo science. I'd rather listen to a voodoo expert because they have more credibility than these so-called experts. And I hate the word expert now. They've wrecked the word expert because anyone can be an expert. I'm an expert
That was Bertrand Russell said you will be ruled by experts. By experts.
We need to get the etymology of expert. Where does that word come from?
X is out, to remove. Out.
Or
and
outside.
Pert.
Yeah.
Or spurt. Yeah.
We'll have to look that one up.
Who's to know? Yeah, there'll be etymology that will be guaranteed accurate.
But I think all these shills that were pushing the vaccine, hopefully, eventually, if I don't know why people go on about the fake Nuremberg, bring back Nuremberg. Nuremberg was a show trial to catch all, to basically let all the business financial criminals off while they just found a couple actors to, I doubt they even hung them. So when people say bring back Nuremberg, what, bring back a phony trial? I have
in my possession the book on the Nuremberg trials, written back in the early 50s. A big book. And a lot of those guys were saying that refused to talk to the and just said, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They got executed according to the book. You know, guys, they didn't play the game. Like, maybe they did. And that you know, you can bring in Project Paperclip, you know, where they brought in all the intelligence agents. And they went to America and worked. And so this is the problem being a conspiracy theorist. You've got to. So you've got Von Braun, right? So you've got one side saying he came over there under threat of execution and did whatever he was told to say. And then you've got the ones that say, no, he came over there because he had the knowledge of rocketry and the Americans needed him to do this. And, you know, he was a willing participant. So you've got, it's really difficult to be a truther because you've got so much disinfo out there. And then the fact that Von Braun's first novel on Mars, and it had, you know, the name of the guy that was running Mars was the Elon, E-L-O-N, which is an anagram for Leon. You know, work it out. I don't know. It's very difficult to be a conspiracy theorist because we've got two completely polarizing narratives being given to us about the same people. And all I can say this is, and I agree with Tim on IPS, that just look at NASA, and you've got four people that were heavily involved in the foundation of the organization. You had
they're from a movie studio, aren't they?
Literally. You had Disney. Disney.
I remember the word Glennon.
I'll tell you now. Disney, L. Ron Hubbard, Parsons, Jack Parsons, and the German we just mentioned before, the Elon book, Von Braun. These were the guys that founded NASA that we have today, faking their space launches, faking their footage of International Space Stations.
I got a couple clips that Stanley Kubrick was seen working with the models and all that. I just put them on FakoTube yesterday. Funny you mentioned.
Yeah, well, I think I've nailed the Kubrick thing personally, and that, of course, because I'm not doing a paywall or whatever, I'm not making any money out of this. But Kubrick's first movie, Lolita, well, not his first movie, but one of his bigger first movies, Lolita, starred Peter Sellers, but also had Ed Bishop. And Bishop, you know, you could say would be a suspicious name for the Jesuits, but let's forget about that one.
Brooke, Queen.
But Ed Bishop starred also in 2001 Space Odyssey. He then went to England and lived in England until he died, the same day as his co-star, Paul, that played Paul Foster in the movie, the TV series UFO that started in 69 that I watched as a five-year-old and that shaped me, that was about a film studio that was pretending to be a film studio that was actually a military installation. And Ed Bishop was the main star of the show. Kubrick didn't live too far away from Ed Bishop, so these two knew each other, and they would have known each other from the very first movie, the Lolita that he starred in. He also starred in a movie called The Mouse That Roared, which was about a fake moon mission that Ab and Rick.
Hi, this is Matty.
This is Maria Lakita.
Mark Manuel.
This is OBF.
Noise level.
Polly Wilson.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Oh, what a cast of voices.
9/11. My favorite is Maria Lakita. 2020. She only showed up for one show.
Beautiful voice. Beautiful voice.
Oh,
but anyway, yeah, just going back to Ed Bishop, right? So Kubrick would have known him personally, and he was in the military as well as a he was an actor, and he worked on doing voiceovers and stuff for the military. Son of a very rich banker in New York, so you know, suspicious. He starred in Lolita in '61. Then he was in The Mouse That Roared, playing an American astronaut on a movie about the Americans trying to beat the Russians to land on the moon. He also starred in 2001 Space Odyssey. He then got the lead role in UFO, which was about a space agency pretending to be a film agency. And NASA, to me, is a film agency pretending to be a space agency, because NASA owns the biggest film studios in the world, and the so there's a there. I came up with this totally exclusive to fakeologist.com, and no, I'm not making any money out of this, but I just like the truth, and the truth should be free as far as I'm concerned. No money involved, you know, but in your case, you're doing a big service. But you're doing a service, so people like me that are not a broadcasting professional can be on fakeologist.com doing the stuff. And luckily, I have spoken to enough number of people that are actually donating to you. So I've helped in some ways.
It's value for value. You're doing your value. You do a show every week that you don't get paid for.
I think 5 years worth of shows guaranteed every Saturday on your network. And I don't think I've missed out on a single one, even when I was sick, allegedly.
Very reliable, Rick. Cough. Very reliable.
Yeah, and I think
one day, out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was after listening to John LeBon and Dave J attacking Gaia on a show, and I went, nah, this doesn't sound right. So I fucked around with my computer.
How did you find Fakeologist, by the way?
Because I was a regular listener to Chris Kendall's Hoax Busters show.
Okay.
And there was a lot of crossover on that show between you and your show. And they used to always mention...
Barely called in.
So they used to be like Adams and Kendall were both regulars on some of the older Fakeologist shows. That's probably how I heard about them, I would say. Mm. And SMJ and...
How did you find Hoax Busters?
Possibly from when I was on listening to Alan Watts' shows, I was getting, suggested links, would have been Jay Dyer or whoever else. And he was always a regular on Hoax Busters shows. And some of the best shows was him, Adams, and Kendall having a free-for-all and laughing away, which I thought was fun, because I do believe we do need to laugh more than get angry when we're into the subject, because if you don't laugh, you're doomed to fail, because you've got to have a laugh. And not take it too seriously, because I spent, as I said, on some of these shows before, as a end of the world, it's all coming, one world government. This is going back to the early 80s, and I totally believe this is, we're in the end days. I thought 81, end days, we've got 3 years to go. Well, here I am in 2022, and I can't see any actual end days.
It's the end of the system, but the system always has to come to an end every 20 years and do something new.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, guaranteed.
The end of the system,
so, yeah, for sure.
The humans aren't going to get wiped out. They're not. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think they've already successfully doing it with the gay agenda. Well, the other day, on Friday, I had a whole day, nothing to do. I was in Sydney doing a menial amount of work. So I was in the city and I went to a couple of really good bookshops that I like to go to. And I noticed glaringly obvious on, as soon as I walked into the section where it's animation or anime, with the Japanese anime, there was these gay agenda heavy posters saying boy meets boy.
Oh, by the way, you gotta listen to the Born Gay hoax. You gotta listen to that, Rick.
Oh yeah, where's that from?
Oh, I put that on fakeologist.com/blog. Gotta get you read the blog. Rollo used to, but I put it's the Born Gay hoax. I got this off Omar's Telegram. I don't think you're on Telegram either. You might want to look into Telegram if you need more stuff to do.
I'm not on Telegram. Not on Telegram.
I know, but it's a phone app, so I figured you might be on it. You might want to download it. You're going to find more information, and it'll make your head explode. On the Telegram.
Excellent. I like to hear that. Make your head explode. Sounds good.
Oh, there's so much stuff there. You can't keep up on Telegram. There's 1,000,000,000 groups. Anyway, it's called the Born Gay hoax. It was how they basically use marketing and propaganda to get the idea. What were gays called? What were homosexuals called before? Say in the 60s, what were they called? Do you remember? You're not. That's probably before your time.
Fruits, or faggots.
I'll give you a time to think. Just give
faggots
me a second.
Would be a big one.
I'll give you a minute. Just give me. You give up? You give up,
yes,
Rick?
Yes, I've given up. Yes.
Sodomites.
Aha.
That was a word they wanted to get out of the lexicon, so they hired Bernays, probably, and all those guys to rework it. And that's what
guaranteed,
they've done.
Ab.
And yeah. And
do you hear it mentioned? It's not mentioned anymore.
Never. But because they said it was born out of, I think the sodomites kind of, there's no unified sodomite society, but there were two main sodomite groups, this guy goes. One of them, I think they're called Uranians, which is a word I never heard of before. It's like Iranian, but with a U.
Uranian.
And yeah, and this goes way back to a Greco-Roman where young
interesting
boys were slaves of older men. And obviously,
well, if you look into Plato and his, you know, and all those guys back in the day, you know, it was quite natural in as far as the Greeks go to have a what's that really tough race of fighters, the movie 300 about them, the Spartans, right?
Spartans,
it was completely normal. It was a normal part of their life.
There were two real groups. There's a hyper-masculine of sodomites, and then there was the more effeminate ones. But so there were two groups there, but they really wanted to get away from this idea of pedophilia because it was just bad from a bad marketing. But that's why the guy says today it's coming back, because it's always been there. It's just been suppressed and marketed away and propagandized away. But it's the underlying credo of the sodomites. Yeah,
for sure, absolutely. It's yep, great. Yep. And now, And I'll say this.
And they want to normalize it today.
The education system back in the day in England, the private schools and the military schools like Sandhurst and, you know, in America you've got West Point. It's normal. And if you're in these schools, it's normal for that type of behavior to go on. It's encouraged to go on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm.
And I'm telling you from experience from a friend of mine that went to Sandhurst, he said the things he saw going on in the shower cubicles, he said he contacted his parents and said, oh, get me out of here. And they either knew about it or didn't care, but that was the way the education system worked. Eton, where you've got most of your prime ministers and journalists came from in the elite class of Britain, it was encouraged. It was called what would they call it? It was I think it was called faggoting, or the older students had a younger male that was there.
It was a mentoring system. Yeah, I know, yeah. And it creates a really strong male bond, blah, blah, blah. And it was great for fighting forces, that kind of thing. So that was sort of the psychological reasoning for it.
Just listen, if you can. Look, and so I actually reshared it because someone sent it to me the other day. It was it's called Illuminati Wife Spills the Beans, or Illuminati Wife, and that's a terrible title.
I've seen that. Listen to what she says. A blonde woman.
She was a disgruntled ex-wife who'd been threatened of, you know, when you try and divorce your husband, you're going to get nothing. So she went to him. Someone got interested in her story, and she says the kind of things that this was going on in the American military, especially West Point, that this whole system of kind of a gay normalization, that's what you do, you know, it's part of their military system. It's a thing for sure.
To bond the boys,
to bond the boys with an older man, the whole Greek education system, the Platonic, normalized in their system. And a normal life, and I'm saying, to me, that's not normal. It's completely abnormal. But it's part of the agenda to bring in this depopulation, creating a non-male, non-female, no breeding. Two men can't breed, two women can't breed. Encourage it, push it, make it normal.
Yeah.
And it's going on now.
It's called Born Gay, and one of his theses is the book and the talk is by Ryan Sorba, conservative, obviously not a liberal, and his thesis is that boys get abused at a young age, 9, 10, 11, 12, and that's what breaks them, and those are the boys that tend to continue the cycle.
That's right, and then they get put into parliament. Put into parliament, put into the military, and they become much more easily controlled because they've got a suspicious background that they don't want publicized, so they're controlled by their...
Well, they're kind of broken. They're kind of broken as well. I think that's sort of the idea, that they're broken, psychologically damaged.
Just remember... Your smartphone today has a camera on each side, and these kids that are watching porn, watching all this, you know, debauchery that's for free online, they're being filmed. And if they become a difficult customer in the future or an elitist that wants to try and be in, they'll have footage of them carrying on online in their data banks to say, shut your mouth because we've got this on you. And that's how the Israeli system worked. It's how the elite system worked in Australia, guaranteed, run by what's his name? The guy that was running the underworld Abe Saffron, how he was became so rich and powerful as an underworld figure, as he was filming judges and politicians getting up to
no good. They said J. Edgar Hoover did the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, guaranteed. Yeah, and they were controlled by their, what you would call, a normal person would say it's a...
Adler.
Yeah, well, they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and we've got this footage of you doing what you shouldn't be doing with someone that's way underage or whatever, and they control them by that. Yeah, the judicial system and politicians controlled by
the other sexual thing, Ryan deviants. Sorber, the other video I posted under the Born Gay Hoax post on fakeologist.com/blog is he went into a gay club and tried to interview some of the guys there, and it's not easy to try and get their sexual history. And almost all of them, or maybe all of them, were abused in their early teens by an older man, and that's why they went into the lifestyle, behavior. That's why they went into behavior. So it's difficult to watch.
It's a thing.
It's a
thing. But it's sadly accurate, I would say, because a friend of mine went to Sandhurst, which is a military academy in England, and he said I have coffee with him every Friday. And he said the things he was seeing going on, and he contacted his parents and said, you know, I do not want to be here. This is happening.
Yeah.
And his parents were, they either knew this is the way to bring your child up, but he ended up leaving at a very young age and
roaming good around for him.
And becoming a cleaner. And we actually did what I'm doing. He became a cleaner and sold his businesses for good money, and he's retired now. But he said it was a normal activity in a military academy to be homosexual and have a guy, you know, looking after an older student.
Let's use the words sodomite, because it's much more...
Sodomites, yeah, for sure.
Much more descriptive. Guaranteed. It's much more descriptive.
Peter Cook.
And it's a...
Peter Cook, who was... a British comedian who was a very highly influential person on the whole degradation of humour. When he was interviewed on American TV by one of those famous 60s American TV hosts, he said this was going on at every level when he was at school. Faggoting was encouraged. It was a normal thing. He rejected it as well. So, you're listening to Reckon Ab.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
All right, this is an older clip that I'm going to play now if you want to hear it.
It's
from the 80s. It says the 90s, but it looks like a VCR, or sorry, VHS tape. And it's mostly the religious people, I think, back in the day, the eschatologists again, that were the ones that were trying to blow the whistle on the one world system that they wanted to create. I think they were...
Well, I'm eagerly listening.
Let's see if it plays. Will it play? Will it not play? It will not play. Okay. Should play. Let me try again. The new
So it's not just Rollo that can't play music. It's the Fakeologist and Velocet.
I'm trying to play this from Faco Tube. It should work.
The New World Order really consists of three aspects. There is a New World political system that everyone today is calling the New World Order. As well as that, there is an economic plan for the New World Order. And that is called the New World Economic Order. In addition to those two items, there's a third plan for religion. You see, the planners of the world know that men need a religion of some kind, even if it's a false one. So they have a plan to give us a new age world global occultic religion. So really, there's three aspects to this New World Order. A New World Economic Order, in which a computer chip will be injected into our hands or foreheads as a means to track, control, and identify us, and will also be used to make our purchases and scan.
Well, they've already put the program in Los Angeles. In fact, a trilateralist named Mayor Bradley, Uncle Tom Bradley, was responsible for putting this in dogs.
Right.
And your children will be considered like animals. Like animals, and operating through the Council on Foreign Relations, through the Trilateral Commission, through the Club of Rome, through Global 2000, which wants to reduce the population of the planet by, 25%. That's 1,250,000,000 people have to be exterminated by the year 2000.
Well, they can do that.
So essentially, this Illuminati then is the group of men who control not only all the money on the planet through all the world banks and the Federal Reserve and so on, but they control essentially all the governments. And so these men are planning to bring about a global form of government that's unique in all history. It's a total enslaving system of world communism and fascism, controlled by a hierarchy in Europe Anthony calls what? The oligarchy.
Well, no, I call it the evilarchy.
The evilarchy.
The oligarchy of evil.
So these men are satanically inspired, and of course we get that term from the Bible, which means the devil. They're satanically inspired to bring about a global form of government to every nation on earth.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's from the 90s. So,
yeah, I was listening to that stuff probably from the early 80s. And as a
guy with one leg just hobbled across the street in front of me on the road in the dark. Good job, buddy.
Well,
Is that a sign?
Could be. There's a sign somewhere. Yeah. Now I was listening to all that stuff, and that's why I'm so at this stage now. And
that's why you didn't buy a house.
It was guaranteed, and again, I would be a very rich man if I had have done so at that stage. Anyway, I'm saying that I agree to this day still that there was an agenda, and we're under it right now. And every time I watch or read a newspaper, which is only once a fortnight basically, I'm saying it's all happened and it's on its way. The agenda that I'm seeing when I go into the bookshops and when I go into or read a newspaper, there's a push for homosexuality to be normalized. There is a push for transgender.
The homosexuality already is normalized. That's 20 years ago.
Yeah, but it's not as normalized now in mainstream.
Maybe you're trying to say popularized.
I'm saying popularized. Yeah. Popularized,
yeah.
Because back then, if I was making these claims, people would say, no, you're a conspiracy theorist. There's not enough evidence for it. Now you can go back and find what you just found before. What I'm seeing now in bookshops aimed at kids is nothing but gay agenda. Boy meets boy, boy marries boy. That was a poster in the bookshop I went to.
Don't use their words. It's happening. Stop using their words.
Sodomite agenda. That's true. Yep. Because gay meant happy. Yeah. If you were gay, I would have rung you, be on the show and say, and you said, Rick, how are you today? And I said, well, I'm feeling really gay. But
that's right. That word was removed in the '70s, I think. In the '70s, yeah.
That's
when the marketing campaign started. Yeah.
And then the attack on the rainbow, the logo of the rainbow, which is a beautiful symbol that you could see in the sky with all the different colors.
All and it colors, meant,
you know,
yeah.
There'd be no more flooding. Not anymore. When you see that rainbow, you go, oh, it's the LGBTQRSTUV. So psychic linguistic programming has been successfully implanted on us. Guaranteed. When we see a rainbow, we think LGBT.
That is LGBTQRST. So you might enjoy that video. I enjoyed it. I thought it was bang on.
Yeah, not bad. Now, look, I was talking before you came on, one of the most powerfully influential symbolic videos I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I've sent it to you as a song. It's by the band called James. And when we finish tonight, if you could play that.
James.
Yeah, it's called Born of Frustration, right? The video.
Wow. Who are they?
Shows.
Who are they?
A Scottish band from the early 90s. Fantastic band.
All right.
No elites involved, but whoever produced the video for that song knew what they were publishing. And at about 40 or 50 seconds before the song ends, it's called Born of Frustration. And I'll send it to you.
But
now, I'm just going to say, anyone that's listening to this, whoever they are, watch that video and then tell me if they know their stuff on symbology. And you need to know your stuff on symbology to see it. You're going to see
signs and symbols.
But particularly the dove that flies into the Twin Towers at exactly the same level as the first plane went in. And when I saw the towers go, that's incredible. But no, I've been on about this for a long time, but I've never had – no one's validated me and said, oh, Rick, that's fucking amazing. They just said, oh, that's interesting. I'm telling you, that song is not – like the song's a nice song and a good song, but the video or the film clip for that song, that is up there with the most powerful that I've ever seen, and I've been around for a while, be told.
So you're saying there's a dove flying into what tower?
Into the Twin Towers. There's a dove flies into the same tower. It's about 50 seconds before the end of the song, but it's there, and there's so many other things in it.
Would a bunch of guys from Scotland even know about?
They didn't. Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's the same with AC/DC or Black Sabbath. The bands and the people in the bands have no idea of what agenda they're pushing, but their publicists that are above them do. And so this band, who are a nobody band, a record company. Yeah. So whoever produced this video knew his shit when it came to symbolic imagery. And I'm telling you that – you're going to see, if you watch this video with a bit of knowledge in your head.
I have to now.
Just do yourself a favor. You're going to get owls. You're going to get Matrix, the digits all fluttering past, just like the movie The Matrix used in its opening credits. 10 years before. Oh, no, sorry, not 10 years before, but about 7 years before the movie came out. All that digital matrix imagery of numbers that fly past was used in this video. But the most powerful to me is when the dove flies into the Twin Towers at exactly the same level as the first plane, which didn't go in, the first plane that the
what
first
level
image
was
of the plane.
Supposedly, I don't even know what the level was. You're saying
91,
maybe a third up the 19, tower?
91, the first plane went into level 91.
Oh, it went into level 91. Oh, okay.
I think so. Yeah.
What about the other tower? What was the level?
Not sure. You'd think I'd know, but
similar.
Similar. Yeah, went in a different direction.
Because the whole official story was that the planes crashed into the top third, and because of jet fuel and all of that, it melted the steel. So then the top crown collapsed on the hollowed out area, and the whole thing came down in a pancake fashion. Like that's fucking my mind. That's
the official story. It is the official story, so you're spot on. Spot on, guaranteed.
And then it pancaked all the way down.
Yeah, absolutely ludicrous of every dimension you can possibly come up with, Ab. Totally ludicrous.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to go soon, but play that song.
All right.
But also, it's a great song, but you've got to watch the video with an open mind a knowledgeable mind. Yeah, which I'm giving you.
What are you going to be listening to this week? What's your recommended podcast list besides IPS?
one of my favorites has been Wayne McCroy's alchemical something or other revolution show.
I don't know that one.
It's fantastic. Yeah, he's on about dreams, and I've been having kind of lucid dreams, and I do believe mean things, and I keep having the same, not the same dream, but I keep having the same color blue in all the dreams that I remember. And I had this amazing one last night, and I woke up again, you know, like at four in the morning. I was trying to remember what I'd been dreaming about. And all I can remember is part of the dream is I was in my van on a really steep slope, looking down and going, no, I cannot take a risk. I cannot take this risk because my van's going to get destroyed if I go down this steep road. And part of the dream, I had a knife in my hand, and it was bright blue with a silver handle. And for some reason, that was part of my dream. I lost it. Now, the blue color, and this is on the Rick and Rollo Weird Dream site, be told, which Rick and Rollo. Good site to be on if you're into this kind of stuff. I've been putting some of the weird dreams I've been having.
Discord.
Rick and Rollo Discord. Yeah.
Where can people join?
Yeah, you've got too much.
Now that you've teased them.
I'll put an invite on the live stream. Now, I've been having some strange dreams over the last a year, whatever. The color blue is always in those dreams that I remember. There's something and there's something there. I've also shared Wayne McCroy's last two shows, which are about he's reading from the Theosophist Society's one of the main people, Cecil Leadbeater, and he's done a reading about dreams and what they mean. And Wayne McCroy reads the book, and I do believe there's something about dreams as being a thing. I don't know what, but there's a thing there. So the color blue has been in some of my weird dreams the last year.
You haven't changed any,
especially last night,
inputs into your body, foods, pharmacological products.
I'm a conspiracy theorist, eater and drinker and whatever. I look after myself.
All right. You're not smoking.
So, no change. No, definitely not. There's something about blue. I don't know what it is, whatever it's in the dream, but I've had dreams of blue whales, blue glass, and blue knife last night. So there's something there. And this guy that Wayne McCroy is reading the book, Cecil B. Leadbeater, he reads the book that this theosophist was telling you that there's something very powerful in your dream that they know about that we don't know about. So that's all I know. So I'm going to go.
That's got to be a very, very esoteric podcast. That's probably
well
pretty thin market.
Well, I've shared it. I've shared it. Plus, I shared one of the greatest esoteric bands ever, Hawkwind. There's a song called "You Know You're Only Dreaming," and I shared that on the show as well, which I would have played tonight if I'd seen it. But I think if you can play that song, "Born of Frustration" by James,
well, you have to see
great
it.
Great song. You got to see it. Yeah, yeah. I'm saying.
Did you look up who did the video?
No, look, I've been trying to research this for 10 years at least. I've been telling people, I said, this video has got everything you need to know about the esoteric in one film clip. I don't believe the band you had any idea. I think the film production company that did it does.
Well, yeah, there has to be a director.
And if we can find out who directed it and where they got their information from, there'd be a open door to there's a Metascript being run, guaranteed. IPS 100% guaranteed.
So when we render this audio, and maybe Velaset will render the audio, let's get those show notes in there with links to. That podcast, and also
that's the podcast is Wayne McCroy's Alchemical Tech Revolution, but whatever it's called, and it's on the Rick and Roll, I think. I'll put an invite onto the live stream show notes, so if anyone's interested, as long as
make sure make sure it expires in a couple of weeks or no expiry if you don't.
Oh no, it's automatic, yeah.
Well, yes, so you can set it to not expire because a lot of these links expire after a day or two if you don't set the parameter.
Yeah,
I know you're not a tech guy, but
there's a lot of good people. There's a lot of great. Anyone that carries on, although Babette's been carrying on against those poor girls in America that she just hates their guts. Purple and
on your server. Linda.
Oh, yeah, she's been fucking attacking them, like, sideways. And I haven't said anything yet.
You're going to have to put the band hammer down. I just saw Babette.
Yeah, well, no, I just assume that those girls can just block, that they can press block and do that. Because, anyway, y'all listening to Rick and Eric. I'm asking alone now. I'm really glad to see.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Wear a mask inside your home.
Okay. Oh, we're one back. More. Rick and Ab, one more quick segment, and then we'll play. I'll play the song in a sec. So we'll put the link there. Babette just left this server for the 492nd time. So
she's obviously highly intelligent. But she's got the fucking baddest fucking temper.
Yeah, bad temper. I'd like her to yell at Boogeyman for a session. That would be good.
She did. Well, apparently she said some very nasty things to him.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, she spreads the love around, or the hate, as it were. Okay.
She's a smart girl. Smart
she's an
girl.
Equal opportunity. Attacker.
Yeah, she said she hopes he gets cancer of the mouth and the ass at the same time.
Oh, wow. Well, that would be
pretty nasty. Pretty nasty.
That is low. All right, Rick. Thanks for joining. I appreciate all you do for the site.
Yeah, and a great show as usual, man.
Excellent. Very interesting. And we'll talk to you later. Right. Here is the song.
You shall do.